But I was the head bailiff for Stokes County for a while. And today we're going to be talking about judgment and making the right choice. Because God will judge both the wicked and the righteous, we must exercise wisdom in making the right choices, amen? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there." Verse 17, "And I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." Our focus verse today is verse 17. "I said in mine heart, God shall judge the rich and the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, Lord God, to open our minds and open our hearts to receive everything that you have for us today, Lord. Speak directly into our minds, directly into our hearts, Lord, and draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord God, to make the right choice in everything that we do. And help us, Lord God, to be ready for that great white throne of judgment. In Jesus' name. Last spring, a 23-year-old woman was driving her car through an Ontario town of Tobermory. I guess that's how you pronounce that. It was unfamiliar territory for her, so she was dutifully following her GPS. Indeed, she was so intent on following that device that she didn't notice that her car was headed straight for Georgian Bay. So she drove down a boat launch and straight into the frigid water. She thankfully managed to climb out and swim to shore as her bright red Yaris sank beneath the waves. In Manhattan, one man followed his GPS into a park where his car got stuck on a staircase. In Europe, a 67-year-old Belgian woman was led remarkably astray by her GPS, turning what was supposed to be a 90-minute drive to Brussels into a day-long voyage into Germany and beyond. Perhaps, maybe, we can sympathize with those people who were led astray by their GPS. One that was less accurate than it should have been. All of us have received wrong directions from the guidance system called sin. When we follow its guidance, we always end up in the wrong place doing the wrong things. And I'm sure somebody's got an amen. Sadly, many people become lost for eternity and are never able to recover themselves to travel the right road. Thankfully, God has given us two very reliable guidance systems: His Word and His Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." I'm a judge. That thought was nearly overwhelming to him as he stood before the mirror in his chambers and adjusted his robe. Oh, if the other court participants could only feel how his stomach was churning. If they could only know how his heart raced. He's expected to make judgments that are both legal and balanced. He's expected to exercise discretion and prudence in following the law and seeking for justice. But in the eternal courtroom, matters far more significant than those determined in any earthly court are weighed. The souls of men are judged. Decisions of life and death are extended to encompass matters of heaven and hell. The judge in this courtroom is not robed in black, but in white, denoting his righteousness. The Honorable Jesus Christ sits atop this court, and he knows who and what he is. He is the sovereign God. His judgments are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 19 and verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 19 and verse 9, I just did that, didn't I? He has never known a moment of an unrighteous bias. Acts 10:34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Everything he does is guided by perfect wisdom. Psalm 104:24, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Among God's many immutable characteristics is his righteousness. It's not merely that all his deeds are righteous or that all his words are righteous. He is, in his very essence, in his very being, righteous. This perfect moral compass affords him the foundation to serve as the eternal judge and to do so flawlessly. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Psalm 9 and verse 8. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. And that God allows his judgment to flow from his character. Every decision he has ever made is righteous. Abraham recently declared of him, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Our world is awash in pluralism. If it feels right, do it. No matter what the Bible says, no matter who you hurt along in the process, if it feels right, do it. We are daily assaulted with the idea that all opinions are equally valid and each person's definition of morality is as legitimate as anybody else's. No one, so they say, has the right to declare what is wrong for someone else. The stated position of our age is there is no unwavering standard of what is wrong. Let me just tell you for a moment. If the Word of God says something's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. I don't care what your title is. I don't care where you came from, who your family is, how much money you have, how many possessions you have. If you go against the word of God, you're wrong. Though such a mindset purportedly offers freedom from guilt, in reality, it provides no such thing. Guilt is not a feeling. Guilt is a fact. One can be guilty regardless of how he feels about his actions. So in order to accurately determine one's state, there absolutely must be a fixed point of moral reference, an unchanging standard of what is wrong and what is right. God, the righteous judge, determines that alone. While many would attempt to complicate the matter, the truth is anything that violates his moral code, the word of God, is wrong. 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin unto death. Any action or attitude contrary to his nature is by its very definition wrong. And all such righteousness is morally offensive to him. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 16, for all that do such things and all that do unrighteously are an abomination. Doesn't say it's just sinful. Doesn't say it's just wrong. It's an abomination unto the Lord thy God. Just as God's nature delineates what is wrong, so too does he determine what is right. By drawing a moral boundary that separates the unholy from the holy, God effectively defines both. Those who resist God's right to provide such definition miss the fact that if there is no right, there is no wrong whatsoever. Nothing, no matter how reprehensible, can rationally be declared off limits if there is not a standard of what is right. Abuse of a child? How can one say this is morally wrong unless he accepts that some benchmark does in fact exist? Unless there is an eternal yardstick against which to measure it, how can one say that murder or rape or any other action is wicked? Having cast away the touchstone of God's righteousness, we live in a world that offers more compassion for a fish caught from a lake than a baby ripped from his mother's womb. God have mercy on us. But God provides the definition of what is right, and it is found in his word. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is our servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Praise God. I don't want none of his punishment, but I'll take all of his rewards he wants to give me. And all I have to do is live according to the word of God and realize how much I need him and how much I fail him at times, and humble myself and ask him to forgive me. In God's laws and statutes, there are both a non-arbitrary definition of what is right and the promise of a blessed life when we live by it. In our earthly judicial system, ignorance of the law is no excuse for breaking it. A natural defendant cannot simply claim, "I just didn't know that law existed." Well, it does, and you broke it. And now you're going to pay the consequences. Similarly, a man will stand before God without excuse because God's word has already established the criteria by which he will be judged. Micah 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? There can be no debate about what is good. That has already been established. God has already made that judgment. God will judge us all one day. But until that time, we are given the right and responsibility to judge ourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? That verse tells you that unless you are filled with his spirit, unless you have obeyed his plan of salvation, you are thrown out, you are tossed out. We face a myriad of daily decisions regarding our spiritual walk that demand right judgment. We're not on our own, however, as God's Spirit in us will guide us in this process. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Left to our own discretion, we would never make wise judgments. Thank God for his Spirit. Thank God for his word that gives us the guidance and direction and helps us to know the right way. For his ways are much higher than our ways, and his thoughts are much higher than our thoughts. Left on my own, I would mess so many things up. I would make so many wrong decisions. But with God leading me and guiding me, and not just me, but all of us, having the Spirit of God inside of us to quicken us, to help us understand when we mess up or when we're about to mess up, feeling his Spirit. No, you don't need to go there. You don't need to do that. That person right there, you need to stay away from. Thank God for his Spirit. Thank God for his word. Our inability to evaluate rightly our ways demands that we yield to the voice of God in our lives. He will assist us in making wise judgments. King Solomon had been given a wise heart, which surpassed any who lived before him or any who came after him. It was a divine gift from God. And it enabled him to make wise judgments as long as he followed this divine wisdom. 1 Kings chapter 3 records the account of this wisdom in action. Two harlots who shared a house came to King Solomon with a dispute. They had each given birth to a son within 3 days of one another. During the night, one of the women rolled over onto her son and killed him. When she awoke and realized what had happened, she devised a very evil plot where she would exchange her dead child for the living. She took her dead child and laid him in her roommate's bed, and she took her roommate's living child and brought him back to her bed. In the morning, the second woman awoke and was devastated to think that she had killed her child. As she lovingly poured over him, though, she realized, "This is not my son." Her son was still living. So each woman claimed the living child was her own and the dead child belonged to her roommate. How would Solomon decide such a matter? The two women's stories were identical, but opposite. Rather than attempt to discern which mother the child more resembled, Solomon called for a sword and commanded the living child to be divided, one half going to one woman, one half going to the other woman. And of course, the real mother says, "No, no, that's my son. Give him to her. Let her raise him. Just let him live." From that visceral reaction, Solomon immediately discerned her true identity. Solomon's tactic was so brilliant that word spread throughout the land. To a significant degree, living for God is a series of choices. It's not just coming up here and throwing our hands up and repenting and being filled with the Spirit and being baptized. Yes, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of a real, true relationship with Jesus. But that's not the only choice that we make. Our choice to live for Jesus is a choice each and every day. It's not a once-in-a-lifetime decision. It's an everyday decision. Initially, we choose to surrender our lives to him. But that's hardly the last time we'll do so. Each day, we're faced with a multitude of choices, each having lasting consequences. We face choices about our activities, our words, our thoughts, our lifestyle. Where we'll go, what we'll do, who we'll hang out with. In each of those moments, our choices must be directed by something higher than us. We must be steered by the answer to the question, what is righteous? Our human perspective tends to be limited on the immediate. What feels good right now? What is appealing right now? But God's word provides insight into both the short-term and long-term ramifications of choices we face. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So in other words, he is our direction, our roadmap. Right now, a lamp unto my feet and direction for where we're going. A light unto my path. In Proverbs 2, Solomon told his son to follow his commandments and seek after wisdom and understanding. There are numerous benefits listed, but among those is this jewel in Proverbs 2 and verse 9. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. There's an obvious connection here between righteousness and judgment. And that connection leads us down good paths. The choice is ours to make. No one can choose for us. We will either follow God's ways and allow his word to guide us, to guide our paths toward a good destination, or we will choose to follow our own flawed hearts and our own fleshly desires. For his soul's sake, a man must choose what is righteous. It's often said in jest that only two things are certain: death and taxes. There's some truth in that, but though there be an element of humor to that, it's not exactly accurate. There are clearly more things than just two that are certain, but there are indeed two specifically that are biblically sure. Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. What have we done with Jesus? What choices have we made? Have we sought him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, in every decision? Every time a choice comes up, have we sought him? God certainly judges the hearts of men currently, and he metes out temporal consequences for our actions in this realm. As serious as that is, it pales in comparison to the sobering fact that one day, after our death, each of us will stand before God for eternal judgment. Solomon addressed this in his writings when he said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. At the appointed time, God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, Romans 2:16. The book of Revelation describes the fearful moment when every sinful man will stand before God to receive his sentence for having rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't know about you, but that stirs my heart. I don't want to be lost. I want to seek God with everything that is in me. I want to make the right decisions and right choices in my life. Brothers and sisters, hell's for real. Eternity's for real. What have you done with Jesus? Have you sought him with all your heart? Have you pushed the world aside and decided to make Jesus the most important thing in your life? Or has other things gotten away? Has other things gripped your heart at times and led you astray at times? Have things enticed you at times, leading you to make bad decisions? We're all capable of making wrong decisions. But I truly believe that as we make the decision to seek him with our whole heart, if we will make the decision to love him above all else, to live according to his word. And no, we're not always going to be perfect. I know that. But we can humble ourselves and realize that God is still sovereign. That he is still on the throne. He is not just God in heaven, but he is God over our lives. But those things that we spend the most time with, when we make a decision to not be in God's house, when we make a decision to not pray, when we make a decision to not be in God's word, when we make a decision, Lord, no matter what you tell me, I'm going to do my own thing, that will destroy you. That will cause you to miss out. That will cause you to be damned. We can only imagine the terror that will be present on that day when all knees bow and all tongues confess that Jesus is Lord, but do so too late for any eternal safety. Lord, help us. Help us to make that decision. And I know I'm preaching to the choir this morning. But as I said earlier, it's not a one-time decision. It's an everyday decision. It's an every moment decision. How many times, how many moments come up in life, just on a daily basis? How many moments on a daily basis come up where we could really affect our eternity? Where we would hear him say, instead of saying, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Instead, we would hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you because of the wickedness within your heart. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to seek you with our whole heart. Help us to not let the world get victory over us. Help us, Lord God, to not let the enemy get victory over us. Help us, Lord God, to make the right decisions in every moment. Every time that we're enticed, every time that we're faced with the decision of going astray. Help us, Lord God, to seek you with our whole heart. To love you above all else. To realize, Lord God, that we need you. Church, let's just pray. Let's just seek the face of God. His presence is here right now. He's reaching for each and every one of us. There may be someone specifically, but he's reaching for each and every one of us to draw closer to him, to seek him with our whole heart. To not let the world get an advantage in our life. To not let the enemy get an advantage in our life. But to fall in love with him, to decide, to make the choice to love him and to serve him. I feel right now somebody on their job has been enticed. Somebody has been enticed on their job. Somebody has flirted with disaster on their job. You need to leave that situation alone. You need to leave that relationship alone. You need to leave it where it's at. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus, to not fall into the trap of the enemy, Lord. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we ask, Lord God, for your blessings, your anointing, Lord God. Your guidance, your direction, Lord God, in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to seek you with all that's in us, Lord. I ask, Lord God, that you would strengthen each and every one of us, Lord. To not let the enemy get a foothold in our lives, Lord God. But help us to stand firm on solid ground. To have your word in our minds and in our hearts, Lord God. To live according to your word. Lord, we ask, Lord God, for your blessings, your anointing upon this upcoming service, Lord God. Pour out your spirit in this service today, Lord. We want and we need and we desire a touch from you today. speak into every mind, speak into every heart. Thus saith the Lord. Help us to believe you, Lord God. In Jesus' name. God bless you.